Coming up, we'll have first round highlights from the Augusta National Women's Amateur already underway from Champions Retreat Golf Club. We're going to have a preview with the broadcast team on site in Augusta, Georgia. They're calling the action for all three rounds for the first time ever right here on Golf Channel and NBC. Recent Korn Ferry Tour winner David Skins will join us. Skins showing us 41 is the new 21. Why was his win at the Club Car Championship so emotional? The story ahead in the show. Plus, we have a major champion hopping on from San Antonio, Lucas Glover, staring down a big milestone this week. We're going to hear how a tee time at TPC San Antonio will have Glover join some select company on the PGA Tour as Golf Today starts right now.
Golf Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Four, please. Yana Wilson, now driving.
How good is that? Early this morning, opening tee shot for the fourth edition of the Augusta National Women's Amateur, underway from Champions Retreat Golf Club. 2022 U.S. Girls Junior Amateur Champ Yana Wilson with the first tee ball in the air. Proud Triple Putt fans remember her as a two-time champion back in 2019 and 2021. Hey there, welcome inside our Golf Channel studios. I'm George Savarikas with Golf Week columnist Eamon Lynch. This is our two-hour edition of Golf Today, and it is a game day this Wednesday here in March with the Augusta National Women's Amateur already on the course. And this event, the fourth edition, has already become a staple as one of the majors for women's amateur golf.
Yeah, we tend to focus a lot on the weekend, George, and what happened Saturday at Augusta National. But there are some pretty big hurdles to get over before these women get there on Saturday, not least 36 holes at a pretty tough layout at Champions Retreat. But this is also a reminder that the biggest platforms in this game can be used to advance the game forward rather than just celebrate what the game has always been. And you're seeing that with Augusta National here. You see it with the Latin American Amateur Championship, the Pacific Amateur Championship, the Asia-Pacific Amateur. You've got this ability to spread a gospel of this game and what this game can be, and you're seeing it with an event like this today.
And we were talking favorite weeks that we have year in and year out in the golf world. This has become my favorite multi-week stretch because you have the Augusta National Women's Amateur, Drive Chip and Putt National Championship on Sunday. That's your precursor week, which is phenomenal. All the different touch points you're getting from the youth of the game, the high-level women's amateur play. And then you have the men's first major with the Masters the following week. So it's gone from just everyone having this build-up to Masters week to a two-week celebration of the game of golf where I feel like all different avenues in the golf world come together at Augusta National.
And that really is to the point of spreading this idea of the gospel, turning the biggest week in golf into the biggest 2 weeks in golf. And that also brings in other organizations. Let's not forget the Drive, Chip and Putt also involves the PGA of America and the United States Golf Association as well, just as other events that have been launched or emanated from Augusta National have involved governing bodies like the RNA as well. It really is maximizing the value and reach of that platform.
Can only imagine the suspense and the buildups for the 72 players in the field this week. Last night, you love to see the traditions in place with this event with the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Tuesday evening, dinner with the chairman. Chairman Fred Ridley inviting all 72 participants at the Augusta National Women's Amateur over to Augusta National for a dinner the evening before the start of play. Get you up to speed with the Augusta National Women's Amateur format. 54-hole event, first two rounds of Champions Retreat Golf Club. That is today and tomorrow. 36-hole cut, top 30 in ties, advance to the final round. Everyone in the field plays a practice round at Augusta National on Friday. It's just the top 30 in ties will play Saturday's final round. If tied after 54 holes, winner will be decided in a sudden death playoff. How about those early highlights? World number one ranked amateur, Rose Zhang, par 5, 14, started her day on the 10th. This for birdie.
It's her to 2 under and kind of explains why she's the world's number one ranked amateur, George.
How ridiculous is that? All the hype on Rose Zhang, who's won 5 of her last 6 starts in college. You figure she was the presumptive favorite coming into this week. Her third to the 18th. in there tight.
Made that a birdie. Got the 3 under par.
Just making the turn, already 3 deep. Bo Park, par 4, 10th. The Texas standout's first hole of the day, splashing it out of the bunker.
As a guest with us here a couple of weeks ago, rose up to a foot, saved par, stayed it even.
Cayetana Fernandez Garcia Pojio, par 4, 10th. This is her third shot. Trying to scramble, get up and down for par.
She does exactly that.
And that is spectacular. Way to avoid a blemish out of the gates. Move ahead, same side, par 3, 17th. Fernandez Garcia Pojio for birdie.
That got her to 1 over par for the day.
Working her way back, par 5, 14th. This is Wake Forest Rachel Keane to save par. Nice roll there, so she is at 2 over early on her round. Reigning U.S. Women's Amateur Champ, Saki Baba, par 3, 17th for birdie. That putter heating up.
Gets her back to even par early in the going.
Early leaderboard, and we have co-leaders at the top. Andrea Lignell and Rose Zhang are each at 3 under through 9. Some of the names currently at 2 under par. Got a trio there, 8 players so far. Round 1 of the Augusta National Women's Amateur are under par. Paige McKenzie with us now, part of the broadcast team this week. Paige, we just saw some of the early first round highlights. Your impression of Champions Retreat so far?
So far this morning, I'm thankful that it's blue skies. For one, we had a significant amount of rain early in the week on Monday, which has softened the golf course up. Today, what the players will deal with as it relates to conditions on this golf course is some wind. I was out there earlier this morning, and there was moments of gusting winds about 15 miles an hour, but then it would lay back down. So keep an eye on how the wind could fool some of the players. But as you can see, George, some pretty good scoring so far already this morning.
Yeah, what do you make of that scoring, Paige? Because we tend to focus on the weekend and the challenge that Augusta National presents, but Champions Retreat is a pretty difficult 36-hole stretch to even get there. What do you make of what you're seeing here early in the first round?
It certainly has been a tough test, Eamon. Over the last several years, Champions Retreat has done a great job of separating the field and really making sure that the best 30 players move on to that Saturday finale. And when we look at the scores compared to how it's played in the past, the last 3 times it's played here in the first round versus what we're seeing today, you can see just how difficult it has played. Oh, there were 14 players under par in 2019, but I also feel like maybe the golf course was testing where do these players sit, never host a big elite event like this. So toughened up over the last 2 years where only 4 in 5 players scored under par in that first round. Certainly can provide a tough test, but typically this golf course's defense is the firmness of the greens. That is very true of last year where so many of the players had difficulty making sure that they could place the ball where they wanted to on these very large greens. That is not the case today. Because of all the moisture that was received early in the week, the players are able to go at more flag sticks and hold the balls much better and easier on the greens. And so I think that is why we're seeing a little bit lower scores today, but that should be really fun as we watch the broadcast today, seeing a few more birdies than we have typically over the last few years.
Paige, we were talking about Rose Zhang yesterday, hyping her up, obviously number one ranked amateur. The season she's putting together at Stanford is, I mean, borderline absurd. Already a co-leader at 3 under. How impressed are you by her start?
I'm impressed. I'm not surprised, but I'm certainly impressed. The spotlight is the largest on Rose coming into this week. There's no doubt that she is the headliner as it relates to this field, and she continues to show poise in those pressure moments where you see her rise to the expectation level that's been put on her. So to see her start out the way that she has and continue to manage her game as course conditions have changed at different golf courses. You mentioned winning 5 of the last 6 starts. These are golf courses all around the country that all play so differently, that she has got an incredible golf IQ, continuing to put herself in good position week in and week out. Can't wait to see what she continues to do the rest of the day.
Do you think there's value to experience this year, Paige, that maybe hasn't been there in the past? We have some women coming back. They've played here before. They kind of know what Champions Retreat's going to challenge them with. They know what Augusta is going to challenge. Does experience count for more this year than perhaps it has in the past couple of years?
We'll see. Yesterday, I spoke about how some of the returning players, there was not a trend line necessarily in experience and how the golf course plays or their scoring average between 2021 and 22 of those returning players. However, I did speak with Amelia Migliaccio. She's one of the players that has played in every single iteration of this event from 2019 until today. And she said, I'm so much more relaxed this time around. The first year is always about the awe of the experience, and it can feel very overwhelming. And so, to your point, I do believe experience will matter. And on this golf course, given the changing course conditions, anybody that's had experience playing in wind, because yesterday, for those players that had never been on this golf course before, yesterday was a very calm day. So given the 15-mile-an-hour wind can change your lines off the tees and into the greens, experience should matter more today and this year than maybe in years past.
Paige, I know on Saturday, most viewers can name the holes at Augusta in their sleep. They're very familiar with what they see year in and year out with the Masters. I was excited this year. Obviously, it's the first time we're seeing Champions Retreat in the first two rounds. Are there certain parts of the course that you can be aggressive with that we're going to see in this broadcast?
There are. The seventh hole, we're going to see 7, 8, 9 on the end of the front nine. Seven is a short par four. It's only 325 yards on the card, playing downwind and off of the right. So all four of those players that are the longest, I'm anxious to see if they're going to pull driver and try to go for that green in two. The ninth and the 18th are also reachable par fives, playing down and off of the right. So you will have good scoring opportunities in our TV window to see these players try to get aggressive. The greens are very big, and some of them not receptive to run in. On 18, for example, you're more likely going to have to carry it all the way onto the green. So we'll see how the players will manage that. If they can get some height on the ball and get it to stop where they need to see maybe a couple eagle opportunities on 9 and 18.
Hey, do you want to jump forward a few days here? Do you think there's added pressure on players when they get to that final round at Augusta National on Saturday? I know they're all proven winners, but even golf fans are so intimately familiar with that golf course and the triumphs and the tragedies. Is that an extra hurdle that's perhaps hard to prepare for those players to overcome that day?
You know, Eamon, I think you more than anybody else would be qualified to understand when I say that golf can humiliate you. And Augusta National is one of those golf courses where you walk that fine line of knowing that if you do make a misstep, you could look pretty silly. And I think there is I don't want to say it's a fear, because you don't want to go into a golf course fearful, but there is that opportunity that you could get embarrassed in those moments. And I think every golfer, I'm not speaking this because they're college or women amateurs, but I think every golfer that steps on a golf course knowing that they're going to demand the very most out of your golf game could have that doubt and that fear creep in. And so, yes, I think the pressure is more significant, not just because the cameras are there, not just because there's going to be a lot of people out watching, a lot of patrons out there on the golf course, but because this golf course demands so much and you have to be so precise in some of those shots that, yes, it certainly could add to the pressure that you may already feel.
Paige, not often that Eamon is hit with a boomerang of a ricochet shot to his own question. So well done there.
She's in danger of becoming my next coach.
And we're both looking forward to seeing the broadcast from Augusta at 1:30 Eastern time, and we're going to check in more on site throughout the show here on Golf Today.
Well, the latest winner on the Korn Ferry Tour is here next, and it was one of the most emotional victories we've seen in a while out there. David Skins, coming up after the break.
But this finish over the weekend on the Korn Ferry Tour Club Car Championship in Savannah, Georgia, David Skins holding off couple hard-charging guys, Chad Tootin and Tom Whitney, for his third career Korn Ferry Tour victory. Skins carded a third consecutive 68 at the Landings Golf and Athletic Club to win by one. An emotional win for not just Skins, but his family, who was on hand.
There's not really a lot of words for it. I mean, it means so much to him. He puts in so much work, and the boys love watching him from a distance, so it was just a lot special for them to actually be here up close and see it all happen. So they're all excited.
Let's get to know the man a little better. 41 years old, born in England, but played his collegiate golf over here in the U.S. at Tennessee, turned pro back in 2005. Three career Korn Ferry Tour victories and 136 starts. Did have his PGA Tour card a couple years ago, so 28 career starts on the PGA Tour. And on the show now, David Skintz, fresh off his win at the Club Car Championship. David, I feel like each win that you have on the Korn Ferry Tour is a different chapter in your career. What does this win signify?
Yeah, it's been, you're right, three wins in, you know, three kind of different spots in my life. So, yeah, this one was special. That's the only word I can describe it. You know, my family come on the road very little with me, and to have them be there for this win was indescribable. You know, it's something I'll never forget, and I'm just truly thankful that they were able to be there.
How much different was that knowing that the family were there, David? Because the last time you won, they were at home watching. Were you aware that they were with you this weekend? Because I know your wife had to cancel some kids' baseball games to drive there in time for the final round.
Yeah, it was kind of a Saturday morning late decision kind of thing. My wife's, you know, she doesn't love doing the spontaneous thing with travel. So it was getting her out of her comfort zone, which was great. But yeah, we had a baseball game for my son, Bennett, my middle kid, and it was canceled because of rain. And then 15 minutes into their drive, it was uncanceled. They got the fields ready. So we let him make the decision, and you give a five-year-old a chance at a road trip, he's probably going to jump on that. So luckily they decided to keep driving, and they got there, I think, with four holes to play on Saturday. So it worked out. It just worked out unbelievably.
David, I feel like that's what the average fan at home doesn't realize, just, A, how difficult it is to win, but then how rare it is that you win and actually get to share it with the people that matter most to you in life. A lot of times you're immediately going to the next stop on whatever tour you're playing on. So to have it perfectly sync up where you're in contention, it's a tournament that they're able to drive to, your wife is then able to shift around the family schedules. Just how much more meaningful would you say that is compared to previous victories where you may have just had to shuttle to the next PG or next Korn Ferry Tour stop?
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on. It's a lonely game sometimes. You're usually out there by yourself and you're going from week to week, probably just traveling on your own. So to have it sync up, you know, we get maybe three tournaments that are within a 5-hour drive, and my wife works full time. You know, she works incredibly hard. So for her to be able to get away, and for the boys to be able to be there, you know, I'm going to be sitting back when I'm hopefully 70 years old thinking about this. And, you know, I know it was special for them, and I hope they remember it too. And I hope it's kind of one of those core memories for them, like it will be for me.
David, there are 30 cards on offer on the Korn Ferry Tour this year, directly onto the 2024 PGA Tour. Now, winning early puts you in a great position, but you have had a winning season before and fell shy of that card. Do you still have the attitude that you need to keep your foot on the gas, even having won this early in the season?
Yeah, for sure, Eamon. I mean, it's a different time in my life. I won late in the season that time, and I hadn't played particularly well throughout the entirety of the season until, you know, I got that win in Omaha in 2018. This time around, I'm you know, playing a lot better, obviously. And, you know, a big motivation for me right now is my kids' lives and my wife, you know, giving her a bit more freedom. So, you know, I want to be home as much as I can. And in order to do that, I've got to play really well out here. So, yeah, my foot's going to be hard down until, you know I can either take a week off or the job is done. So, yeah, it's a different time in my life. And I think I'm a lot more prepared for it than I was in 2018, for sure.
And you were on the PGA Tour a couple of years ago, 21-22 season. If you are back there in 24, how would you be better prepared for that experience than you were last time?
Yeah, I got this question a lot on Sunday as well. I think, you know, the first time around, even though I was 40, there's still a lot to learn. It's different. There's a lot more going on. There's a lot more pulling at your time. And I don't think I stuck to my process particularly well. I didn't have it very well ingrained. So the next time around, I would just be myself a lot more. I would stick to my own process, know what makes me good. And yeah, I mean, anytime you do something for the second time, it's a little easier. So, you know, I'd jump at the opportunity, and I know I'd be better off second time.
Being a professional golfer, it's often a solitary pursuit, like we've touched on. What's given you the belief to keep grinding and chasing your dream to try and get back to the PGA Tour?
I've seen good friends of mine do it. Ben Taylor is a good friend of mine, and he played phenomenally on the Korn Ferry Tour last year after being on the PGA Tour a couple of years before. And yeah, that was inspiring watching him bounce back. And it's just, you know, it's just what I do. I've never considered not getting back to the PGA Tour. It's just, it just doesn't resonate with me. You know, I know what my goal is, and I know I want to achieve it, and I just keep pushing every day to try to do that.
So I got to ask, with your celebration after the victory, saw that you bartended after college. I'm a man who also was slinging drinks back in the day after university. What was your celebratory drink as you were able to soak in your third career win on the Korn Ferry Tour?
Well, it had to wait a little while because I had to drive home from Savannah to Atlanta. So I had to wait till we got home and driven through the rain. But yeah, we opened some champagne when we got home. Fortunately, there was some in the fridge from who knows when. But we opened a champagne, and then I had a couple of beers as well. But yeah, it was, I had my mum there as well. So it was, yeah, it was an amazing night to stay up late with them and, you know, have a couple of celebratory glasses of champagne. It was, yeah, another dream come true as well.
Sounds like a perfect evening.
And hopefully there'll be many more occasions. Put another bottle on ice, David, just in case.
Yes, sir, I will.
Georgia Southern's Ben Carr, fifth-year senior, earning an invitation to the Masters after reaching the finals in last year's U.S. Amateur. Coming up, we're going to chat with Ben on his preparation as he gets set for this life-changing experience.
We're pleased to be joined by Ben Carr now. Ben, you just won the Schenkel Invitational down in Georgia a couple of weeks ago. You were runner-up in a tournament the week before that. You've got to be riding some pretty good confidence heading to Augusta.
Yeah, for sure. We've been playing a lot of golf these last 6 or 7 weeks and kind of worked myself into a little bit of a rhythm and feeling confident heading into next week and just really excited for the experience and opportunity to compete.
You're a Georgia kid, obviously grew up in Columbus. How many times have you made the trip over to Augusta National as part of your prep leading up to your debut in this year's Masters?
Yeah, I've been over 3 times so far and kind of gotten to learn the lay of the land and how the course plays. And it's been interesting to see like how it's changed each time. It just firms up a little more. And I've heard it's only going to firm up even more so next week. And I'm just trying to focus on learning the golf course the best way I can and really just kind of soak it all in.
And part of the learning of the golf course for a lot of amateurs is reaching out to people with a lot more experience than you have to play practice rounds. Do you have anyone in mind that you've reached out to for a practice round next week, or who would the dream practice partner be?
Yeah, I'm pretty good friends with Larry Mize and Russell Henley, so I'll be able to play a practice round with them on Monday and hopefully Tuesday, and then we're going to do the par three together on Wednesday. So between those two guys, they've had a lot of success there, and they clearly know the course very well. So I'm going to pick their brain as much as I can and just see what I can learn from them and how I can apply it to my game and the week for myself.
What's Masters week going to be like for you? Where are you staying? Who's going to be on the bag? What's the buildup like?
Yeah, I'm staying with my family. I'm going to stay one night in the Crow's Nest, hopefully after the amateur dinner on Monday. Donald Cooper is on the bag for me. And yeah, I'm just really excited for the entire week. I mean, to be able to compete as an amateur is a huge honor, and it's not something I'm taking for granted. And I really just kind of want to make the most out of the week, regardless of how I play.
What are your earliest Masters memories when it comes to watching the tournament, people you've cheered for, memorable finishes?
Yeah, I remember watching Trevor Immelman win. I remember watching Phil's shot from the trees on 13. I really remember watching Rory have the lead in the back nine. 2011 maybe. So I mean, obviously I grew up watching that tournament religiously and just being able to compete in it, and I don't know, it's really special being from Georgia and having known so much about the Masters. I mean, it's something Georgia golfers and really any golfer look forward to every year, so to be able to play is just kind of surreal.
We saw a lot of emotion from you at the U.S. Open last summer, Ben, and from the family support network you had around you. What do you think the emotions are going to be like as a Georgia kid when you're on that tee next Thursday?
Yeah, I'm going to be extremely nervous and really excited at the same time. I'm going to have a lot of support there, and I hope it's going to be able to kind of calm me down a little bit and hopefully play some good golf. But I mean, more importantly, I don't really want to just kind of blow through everything and kind of miss the whole experience because I'm so focused on how I'm playing. I wanted to kind of go hand in hand and just hoping for an awesome week.
I know during your run through the U.S. Amateur where you ultimately finished runner up, you had shared how you have a special ball marker that your dad had given you. It passed 4 years ago. Is that going to be in your pocket for the Masters? And what do you think, how proud do you think he would be of what you've been able to accomplish so far?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be in my pocket, 100%. Yeah, Jeffrey Jenkins made me that ball marker, and it's something that's been really special to me for the last couple of years since he sent it to me. And he's made me a couple backups just because of the story at the AM. So I have a couple now and should be set. But yeah, I'm definitely going to be using it.
What are your goals or expectations for the week, Ben? Because when you're playing well and you've reached the height you have in the amateur game, how does that translate to going up against the best players in the world next week?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of experience in amateur golf and obviously not much experience in the pros. So, I mean, I don't have too many expectations for myself. It sounds so cliche, but I really just want to have a really fun week. And I mean, regardless of how I play, but I mean, obviously a goal of mine would be to make the cut and finish low amateur. I think that's every amateur's goal. So that would be the really only goal I have for the golf. But I think more importantly, you never know if you're gonna get the chance to do this again. So I just want to have a really good experience.
You're a fifth year senior at Georgia Southern, playing out of the Sun Belt Conference. It's not a blue blood conference per se when it comes to college golf. Does that give you any additional chip on your shoulder, or how has that molded you to get to where you are now?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, I mean, I think everybody on our team has a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, just being a mid-major and being at Georgia Southern. But I mean, in my 5 years here, we've always had a really good team, and we've always kind of been trending forward kind of year to year. And we're currently ranked in top 20, top 25. And yeah, I mean, I only see us kind of going up from here. And I think one of our big goals is to get back to Greyhawk. We struggled there a little bit last year, and I think all of us are pretty confident that that we can play well on that golf course. And so that's kind of on our minds right now, just kind of finishing up the spring is getting through regionals and getting to Greyhawk.
And I guess on the minds of just a few of your teammates might be trying to figure out how to get a badge next week to the Masters and watch you at Augusta National, or bare minimum, gather on campus and watch the first and second round, hopefully into the weekend as well. Ben, thanks for the time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Ben's Cars competition gets underway next week, but the amateur women are underway today. After the break, we'll be joined by Bethan Nichols with the latest from Champions Retreat, including one familiar name who has fired her mother. We'll explain that one.
Special day for the Augusta National Women's Amateur. This is the fourth edition, the first time that the first two rounds at Champions Retreat Golf Club televised right here on Golf Channel. You can catch first round coverage at the end of golf today. That's at 1:30 Eastern Time. We are here with you for the next hour plus. Now let's welcome in on site from Augusta National Women's Amateur at Champions Retreat Golf Club. It is Golf Week's senior writer, Bethan Nichols. Bethan, Latona Stone, last year it seemed like it was hers to win. Obviously the sentimental favorite after her collapse down the stretch before ultimately finishing runner-up. What's her journey like to get back to the Augusta National Women's Amateur?
Well, you know, the good news is right after that, she helped LSU win the SEC title for the first time in 30 years. So last spring, she bounced back quickly. But, you know, she's really hungry to get one back here because, as you say, she is a sentimental favorite with a double bogey and a bogey down the stretch. You know, Maria Fassi, who knows what that feels like, actually direct messaged her afterwards to reach out and just said, you know, she wanted to crawl through the TV and give her a hug. It was so rough. But the way she handled it, the interview that Latana gave afterwards was so great that people actually sent letters to her in the mail just commending her on how well she handled it. And I said, what did you learn from that? And she said, I learned that no matter how hard you work, sometimes things just don't go your way. And, you know, you just have to use that for motivation. So I really think she has a great attitude coming into this week. I've known Latana since she was 9 years old. She first played in her first national event at the Harder Hall Invitational way back in the day. I don't even want to do the math there, but she'd already won over 100 titles as a 9-year-old. So she does know how to win.
Bethann, you posted a piece on golfweek.com last night about Caitlin Schroeder, who was last year's AJGA Player of the Year. She's the daughter of the UNF coach, Scott Schroeder. She's got a lot of fire, right?
She does. You know, Caitlin actually just graduated from high school in December and enrolled at the University of Alabama in the spring just to kind of get her feet wet as a redshirt freshman. And I asked Mick Potter, the coach at Alabama, I said, who does Caitlin remind you of? And he said, Dottie Pepper, a former player of his, because of her great passion and her desire to be great. And what I think is so unique, obviously, about Caitlin is she grew up, you know, watching her father's teams really grind behind the scenes. Every day she's going to the UNF practice facility to work on her own game. And she's getting this firsthand experience of looking at just what it takes to be an elite world-class player. And she's really taken that to heart. Michael Jordan is her hero. She loves his competitive fire. And, you know, Caitlin was the AJGA Player of the Year last year. And certainly, I think, one to watch in the coming years here for quite a long time.
We talked about Latana Stone having perhaps something to prove after the near miss last year, but someone else is in the same position. Ingrid Lindblad had a similar chance to win last year and let it get away from her at the end. Do you think she's under a little bit of extra pressure this year, Bethann?
You know, you would think so, but you really don't get that impression when you actually talk to her. She, you know, she seems like she just takes everything in stride. It was a different situation for Ingrid last year because she shot a final round 68 and just, you know, vaulted up the leaderboard. So a different feeling leaving Augusta National for Ingrid than Latana last year. But, you know, after that experience at Pine Needles where, you know, she said as an amateur, she's playing alongside Annika Sorenstam for a while. She's winning leading the U.S. Women's Open last summer. And she's like, this is and what you're expected to do as an amateur, which is absolutely true on that stage. But this stage, of course, is very different, and she is expected to be somebody contending down the stretch. So she's hungry for it, too. Fun fact, Ingrid will be coming back next fall to LSU and will be once again rooming with Latana Stone. So they're good friends, and we could see a battle down the stretch here on Saturday.
Bethann, not often we're talking about player caddy changes at the Augusta National Women's Amateur, but Amelia Miliaccio, the 2021 runner-up. We remember that week, that walk, when she had her mom on the bag. A change-up this year?
Yeah, you know, that we decided that had to be historic, right? The first time a mom had ever caddied for a player on a Saturday at Augusta National and in competition. It was such a fun thing. But this year, definitely a change up. Mom is just wearing the coach badge because mom actually is her coach. Ulrika played college golf alongside Annika Sorenstam at the University of Arizona. But now it's fiance Charlie on the bag this week, and he has some experience caddying for her at a women's amateur as well as an Epson Tour event. Charlie actually works for Bank of America for his day job, but is on vacation this week. And I know they're going to enjoy themselves, and they'll be getting married later this June. And you know, not only is Amelia a fantastic golfer, but she's also great in this role and every role in the media. She's a terrific writer. She's great at broadcasting. And she actually met Charlie in a writing class at Wake Forest. And she'll be doing some work for the Golf Channel this summer and doesn't plan to turn professional. So You know, we'll see her in U.S. mid-ams for many and four balls for many years to come, and it's a lot of fun to watch her.
Of all of our colleagues, George, Amelia might be the one who actually still has the most game to show out there. Beth Ann, I know it's still pretty early going in the first round here, but when you look at that leaderboard, is anyone surprising you in terms of how they've broken out in their scoring today, or has anyone surprised you by not perhaps performing as well as you expected?
Well, you know, early on, I haven't looked recently, but early on in the day when I was looking at the start that Tsubasa Kachitani had earlier, it was surprising, a really rough start. You know, she hasn't played a whole lot. We asked her yesterday why she didn't play last year, and she said it was due to family issues. And it's really tough to see, you know, a former champion, you know, struggle out of the gates here. And it's obviously proving to be a scoreable day. But, you know, Rose Zhang, certainly not surprising us at all at the top of the board. Former women's amateur champion Jensen Castle, who earlier this spring actually fell in the shower and suffered a concussion, was out for like a month, and is just really grateful to be playing and has a tremendous attitude and has been playing great this spring. So be fun to watch Jensen.
Beth Ann, you mentioned Rose Zhang. Thanks for the time. Eamon, let's get to more of the highlights. Rose Zhang eyeing another birdie as she made the turn at 3-under on her opening nine. We spin it to the front side. This is the third, her 12th hole of the day, her second shot. This is the par 5 third at Champions Retreat Golf Club. So she was in the go zone, threw the green in two, in a great spot. And we know with her short game, she is dangerous anytime she has a putter in her hand. This was for eagle to move it to 5-under.
Gives that one a nice aggressive roll.
Well, when you are the number one ranked women's amateur in the world right now, you don't fear the comebacker.
That's why she's the most dominant player in women's golf right now.
Rose Zhang, you see, has now made the move to just within one of the lead of Andrea Lignell, who is at 5-under through 12. The early pace setter at the Augusta National Women's Amateur Round 1 in Augusta, Georgia. All right, still more to come here on Golf Today as we are moseying right along TPC San Antonio, more than 1,000 miles away from Augusta National. So how are the pros using this week at the Valero Texas Open to get their game sharp for next week at the Masters? We are back on Golf Today this Wednesday, as it is the final stop for a lot of guys to get in their prep work before the Masters. These are some of the notables in the field playing this week's Valero Texas Open. Chris Kirk, already a winner this season on the PGA Tour. Hideki Matsuyama has slipped on the green jacket. Corey Connors, who's won the Valero Texas Open before, that was 4 years ago. His three career starts at Augusta, three straight top 10 finishes. Let's hear from some of the guys as they have one eye on this week at TPC San Antonio and one eye on next week at Augusta.
I've done, you know, had the same schedule the last few years, and, you know, I felt really good going into Augusta, having, you know, played some rounds and, you know, played in different situations. And, you know, as special as the week is at Augusta, try and normalize it as much as possible, you know, just traveling there after finishing up here and sort of taking a bit to get settled in and get to work and get prepared for that event. But I feel like, you know, playing this week, you know, lets me know where my game's at, and it, you know, helps to normalize and not make, you know, next week too long. You know, if I wasn't playing, I'd probably be itching to get there, you know, far too early, just because it's such a special place. But, you know, played well here the last few years, so looking to play well again and then carry that momentum into Augusta.
I mean, for me, I've always liked playing the week before a major. I think I go a bit stir crazy, especially going into the Masters for the first time next week, trying to do some practice. So, yeah, for me, it's just get out, try to hit some good shots on the golf course. Like, I'd love to be in contention come Sunday. But, yeah, it's just go out and you know, not take it. Not work really, really hard this week. You know, we had a lot of wind yesterday, so I kind of took it easy and, you know, sort of try to hit some shots that I'll have for next week. And I think they've done a great job of the golf course trying to make it as close as possible for us.
opening round of the Valero Texas Open coming your way tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern right here on Golf Channel. It is the longest continuous event in one city on the PGA Tour. 101 years, San Antonio has been host to the Valero Texas Open. We'll be right back. George Savarikas with Eamon Lynch. We've been following the early highlights. A lot of birdies so far. Round one at Champions Retreat Golf Club. Let's get to some of the updated highlights, Eamon, from round number one. First time that we're going to be seeing Champions Retreat Golf Club for rounds one and round two. The broadcast now for all three rounds of the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Saki Baba on the fourth.
The U.S. Women's Amateur Champion from just off the back of the green. Made that for par to stay at one over.
Rosang, par four, fourth, coming off a birdie the previous hole, her third shot from off the green.
Rose that one inside of 5 feet and has this for par.
Rose steady as she comes. Another up and down for par. Four under on her round through 13 holes. She's got five to go. She is one back of the leader, Andrea Lignell, at five under through 14. Jenny Castle, three under, making the turn on her day. So she is currently solo third. Now let's welcome in one of the members of the broadcast team who is on site at Champions Retreat Golf Club in Georgia for the Augusta National Women's Amateur, Steve Burkowski. Burko, some news and a developing story surrounding defending champion Anna Davis. What more can you tell us?
Yeah, George, let's keep in mind, due to the rain earlier this week here at Champions Retreat, more than 5 inches over the past few days, preferred lies in effect for the first two rounds here at Champions Retreat in areas cut to fairway height or less. Now, that is important to sort of distinguish because Anna Davis, the young woman who won here a year ago, on her very opening hole on two different occasions, lifted, cleaned, and placed the ball off the fairway height in the second cut here at Champions Retreat. That was noticed by multiple witnesses, and while scoring, live scoring that is, has her for a bogey five at the opening hole, there are strong indications that five will become a nine. A rules official approached Anna Davis on the fourth hole, sort of letting her know this is a situation we will review at the end of the round. And in fact, on that fourth hole, Anna Davis ended up making a double bogey. So the defending champion, perhaps some nerves on that very first hole today at Champions Retreat. That will be a full review at the end of her round. But every indication appears to be, George, that that five might very well become a nine when her 18 holes is done here at Champions Retreat on round number one.
Wow, that could be a pretty fatal blow to her title defense in her opening nine here at the Augusta National Women's Amateur. We were talking Anna Davis, short list of favorites, and then we were saying at the top it had to be Rosang. Her performance so far, round one, your thoughts?
Well, when you take a look at Rose Zhang, she is everything we all have come to expect. You guys talked about it in the first hour of the show, a U.S. girls junior champ, a U.S. women's amateur champion, an NCAA individual champ, is putting together one of the great seasons we have seen in women's college golf in quite some time. So to come in with those expectations to be the top-ranked amateur in the world for the better part of 2.5 years, nearly 3 years consecutively, every eyeball is on Rose Zhang and how she deals with the attention. I've had the good fortune to watch Rose and cover her for several years. There is a tunnel-like vision she has when she steps on the first tee. And you might watch her for 18 holes and maybe not be overly impressed with what happens. But then usually at the end of the day, the score starts with something in the 60s. It is truly a joy to watch somebody like Rose Zhang. And you guys also alluded to the fact it's really the only missing piece of the puzzle of her very accomplished resume that she has put together. So to come out here with all the attention, playing alongside Saki Baba, the U.S. women's amateur champ, there's a lot of media following her. It is truly a sight to behold when you watch Rose Zhang. She is very humble. She is very similar to Lorena Ochoa. I draw the comparisons of what Lorena did 20 years ago, winning 8 times in 10 collegiate events at Arizona as a sophomore. Rose has 5 of 6. Everyone likes to be around Rose, wants to be her teammate if they're perhaps in a match, and to just see her on full display, center stage. Remember last year, she had an injured toe. She broke her toe while lifting weights back in college, so she wasn't 100% in 2022. And while she might not say it, I believe she comes here saying, you know what, I want to make a big statement and validate everything she has done so far so good today for Rose Zhang on day number one.
Berko, do you think if she had a more explosive game off the tee, then the hype would be equitable to the accomplishments that we've seen so far from her? Because the season she's putting together is incredible. And I keep saying it's Tiger-esque. I mean, she's already tied the Stanford women's mark for career victories with 9, but she has such a game that kills you with consistency that it doesn't necessarily have the flash off the tee.
Yeah, if you look at someone maybe like Ingrid Lindblad, number 2 in the world amateur golf rank, in a completely different style of golf. Ingrid will hit it far, hit it high, maybe attack some flag sticks and hole locations that Rose simply cannot do, and that's not a disservice to Rose. That's a testament to somebody like Ingrid Lindblad. But Rose Zhang has always played within herself. I remember winning that U.S. Women's Amateur against Gabby Ruffles, and Gabby was looking to go back-to-back at that prestigious amateur championship, and Rose Zhang just hung around, sort of waited for Ruffles to have a misstep, and that's exactly what happened on the 38th hole. So Rose Zhang might not go out and dominate a golf course, but she'll dissect it from tee to fairway to green, get in the right spot. We've seen that long birdie putt from the 14th hole earlier today. She can make them from 40 feet, and she's clinical on the par fives. If she can't reach it, she plays to the proper number, has a world-class short game, checks every single box that I have seen, and we have watched and witnessed a lot of great ones come through the collegiate ranks in amateur golf. And Rose Zhang, perhaps with a win this week, you could put her on the Mount Rushmore of the all-time great amateur players.
Triple digits usually aren't a good thing for professional golfers. This one, certainly an exception. Coming up, we're going to talk to a major champion who's making his 500th start on the PGA Tour this week in Texas. Stay with us. Flashback to 2009. Why? Well, we're looking at the biggest win in the career of Lucas Glover. His first major, that was at the U.S. Open at Bethpage. Glover held off Ricky Barnes, David Duval, Phil Mickelson to win by 2 in a rain-soaked week. Glover birdied the 16th, par the final 2 holes to win in what was a Monday finish.
In 2021 at the John Deere Classic, Glover made 5 birdies on his last 7 holes in a final round 64 to win by 2 shots. It was the first victory of his on the PGA Tour in more than a decade. And here is the bio of Lucas Glover. He turned pro in 2001, Clemson Hall of Famer, the 4 PGA Tour victories, most notably that major championship, the 2009 US Open. We're pleased to be joined now by Lucas Glover, who is making his 500th start on the PGA Tour this week in Texas. Lucas, 500 starts, does that make you feel proud, or does it make you feel really old?
Really old, more than anything, but a little proud too, honestly. Didn't really realize it was coming up till about, 10 days ago. Somebody mentioned it at the Valspar tournament, and I had to double check. I wasn't even aware.
Lucas, numbers matter in this game. It's obviously how we can compare eras, compare players, compare seasons, compare weeks. Does the number 500, is this one that will mean a lot to you going forward, or are you a guy who doesn't reflect on achievement when you're living it?
Yeah, it'll probably take a little while to appreciate it, but I think just being here and competing and doing it for the 500th time, it feels like the same event, but at the same time, it's pretty cool that it's been 20 years of averaging 25 tournaments, so a year. But at the same time, it's been a grind, but wouldn't have traded it for anything.
I believe actually the first start you made on tour was at the Texas Open, Lucas, 22 years ago. When you look at your career from where you are now, the goals you had set for yourself when you started out, how close are you to achieving all of those goals you set for yourself?
Never really had a list per se, but to to have a long career out here was definitely on my mind as a teenager and a college player, and then trying to get out here. And so I think definitely achieved that, and obviously want to win. And nobody's going to say they've won as much as they think they should have or could have. But I fall into that category. But still been a heck of a ride, and been very very lucky to be out here this long.
Lucas, your first full season on the PGA Tour back in 2004. Anyone who's been out here that long, nearly two decades, will experience highs and some of the lows of professional golf. How do you balance the two?
It's like any walk of life or parenting children or a job or a desk job or sports. It's never as good as it seems, and it's never as bad as it seems. And that's kind of the mantra I've had, and well, I've had to learn, actually. You don't think that way your first couple of years out here, but you learn it pretty quick that, you know, one or two shots can turn around a bad slump, and one or two bad shots can turn around a good slump or a good run, I should say. So it's just trying to stay level and even off the course, and just realize that anything can turn it one way or the other really quickly.
Lucas, you know what it's like to win a major championship. You also know what it's like to have a season where you're struggling to hold on to your cards. And sometimes it doesn't seem like a lot difference happens between those two outcomes for professional golfers. When you look around now at the structural changes being made to the PGA Tour, fewer cards on offer for full access every season, are you a fan of what you're seeing in terms of these changes?
I don't know. I hadn't really wrapped my head all the way around it yet. On the surface, no, but at the same time, I'm still learning all the nuance of it, and trying to educate myself and ask the right questions to form a full opinion.
Well, Lucas Glover, thanks for spending some time with us here on Golf Today, and awesome to see number 500 here this week at the Valero Texas Open. 500 career starts on the PGA Tour. Play well.